welcome to the show. It's the best podcast that we know. We are glad to have you here. Let our voices massage your ears. It's free and it's online. It's an hour of your time. So welcome to the Brother Stream Show. Welcome to the Brother Stream Show.
Hello.
Hey.
I'm Simon Streep.
I'm Dill Streep.
I'm Andrew.
And welcome to another episode of this. Has everyone been good?
I've been very good.
I've been naughty.
You've been naughty?
Yeah.
Well, you're not getting any Christmas presents.
Nope. Not this year.
What happened?
No, nothing. I just haven't been necessarily good.
You can't drop a spicy little taste like that and then not follow it up.
I mean, it was a throwaway line, but Simon hooked it up like an expert fisherman.
Like nobody's going to take that hook, line, and sinker.
Are you sure you haven't just been slightly devious and that's why you've said this?
I'm trying to think how I've been naughty now. Now I'm just going to make something up.
Did you brush your teeth last night?
I always brush my teeth, Simon.
Did you brush your teeth this morning?
I did brush my teeth this morning, but I had 3 cupcakes for lunch.
Well, that is definitely naughty.
It's certainly devious. With brushing your teeth in the morning, it's hard to get that right.
How do you mean?
I mean...
Is it?
It's really not.
Yeah. No, it is hard to get that right because I, for one, will often leave my home before having breakfast.
Oh,
okay.
Why would you do that? It's the most important meal of the day.
Well, because I've been having boiled eggs for breakfast.
Oh dear.
And I have them.
You're that guy.
And I have them at the office.
You take them to work.
Yeah, I'm that guy.
Oh, no.
And so it feels like I'm often just about to have breakfast or at least, the very least, tea. And so if I brush my teeth too early, it's not going to prevent me from the eggy smell. I mean, yes, I might get rid of some plaque, but that's about it.
I just feel like the worst thing here is that you're taking boiled eggs to your office.
And I'm putting mayonnaise on them.
Oh, man. I mean, I went through a phase of taking the boiled eggs to like picnics. Picnics. But I had the decency to always move away and sit downwind when I had the egg part of the picnic smorgasbord.
Yeah, where do you eat your boiled eggs?
I eat them in the kitchen.
It's quite a small office.
It's open plan, Andrew. I think you know that as well as I do.
Yeah.
Look, I think people are able to smell the eggs if they so desire.
Yeah.
But they're also, you know, able to turn a blind nose if they're...
They've been polite and not said anything.
Are you the only person who is eating boiled eggs in the office?
Well, actually, just the other day, a fellow colleague of mine had 5 boiled eggs.
Oh, my word.
That sounds like a cry for help.
Is this a boxer or something? Is he going into some big sporting tournament? I've got a little surf report. I don't know if anyone's interested.
Yay!
I'm definitely interested.
Maybe we should do that sting again.
Yeah.
All right.
Fun can be found in
surfing
around.
It's the sting that everyone's come to love. this one last week, it wasn't really a surf report. I know we guised it under.
Yeah. What was it?
I just said that my legs were sore, and then we quickly moved on to something else.
And Andrew suggested a helpful surfing term.
Dropping in.
Well, no, that's actually good that we brought that up because I think I need to learn more terms.
Okay.
Andrew, maybe you can help me out here.
I can. I've got one that springs to mind immediately. But
what's that?
Well, it's a kind of like a, when you're a surfer, you get to make these little jokes about bodyboarders. What do surfers call bodyboarders?
Yeah.
Speed bumps.
That is quite cool.
Yeah.
I like that.
So you can throw that out with your surfer friends and they'll think you're so funny.
Brilliant. I need this because what happened last weekend, I did 3 surfs in 3 days.
Ooh.
Middle one was awful. Yeah. Outside 2, great. Nice little bookends.
Yeah, nice little bad surf sandwich.
Yeah. But after one of them, I went back into the garage where the surfboards go.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so bad at describing things. And there was another surfer there, you know, wetsuit half taken off, like hanging down his body.
That's good that it wasn't the other way.
Yeah. Such an offensive way to wear a wetsuit. Yeah. Just the top half on. And he, you know, we were going to put our boards on the racks and he'd been for a surf, I'd been for a surf, and he asked me what the waves were like. I just said, yeah, they're good.
Okay. I can help you out here.
I didn't know what to say.
You can say they were hanging 10.
No, you can't say that.
Okay, but hanging 20? So it's not the number that's the problem in that sentence.
The hanging 10 thing, I put some, you'll all remember the sexy wax that one has to buy. I put some on the very tip of the board in case I ever get out to hang 10. I want to be that idiot who tried to hang 10 and slipped off his board because he didn't chalk the front. Chalk? Wax. And yeah, so anyway, he asked me what the waves were like and I just kind of said, yeah, they were good.
Choppy.
I liked
choppy's
them.
Good.
Choppy would have been good.
Yeah, I could call them choppy.
Bad. The problem is choppy's bad.
You no, it's bad, choppy. But I mean, it's a word that describes waves.
Yeah, so
you don't want to go, how the waves? They're a bit blue today.
Even that would have been better. Yeah. I just said good. It was so stupid. And then I'm like putting the board down and he still went, well, was there any wind? Or I was like, I don't think so. I mean, what happened was water swelled and carried me along from point A to point B. And at the end of that, I got off and then went and tried it again. Yeah. That's what the surf was like. So yes, my report this week for everyone who's keeping track is that I need to be more of like a cool surfer person.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like an accountant trying to learn to surf.
I have an idea. If you have any particularly good, helpful surfing terms that you wish to tell Dylan, then you can email in at podcast@brotherstreep.com.
That'd be great.
And hopefully teach him a thing or two about surfing because it seems like he doesn't really know.
He's a bit of a grom.
a grom?
Yeah.
Are you just making up terms now?
No, I'm not. A grom is like a young surfer.
I'm definitely a grom then.
Yeah.
Huge grom. Is that to do with like when your ears get sore from surfing?
Well, it is from grommet. I don't know if it's necessarily. Is that the thing you put in your ear?
Yeah. What stage do you progress to?
They never look like dogs though. So.
I was going to say, when do you progress to Wallace?
Wallace. what was that? podcast@brotherstreep.com. Yeah. Just tell me I'm a grom.
So you guys might want to know how it went looking after the child.
Oh, yes. Is the child still with us?
No. Well, I mean,
Let's get the good news.
He died. He's not currently with me, as you can see. Right. And he's not currently at our house.
Right.
He is still alive, though.
Phew.
So he survived the weekend. Okay.
Brilliant.
Which is really, when you're babysitting, that's pretty much what you're aiming for.
No, that's the minimum.
I think you've done a good job if the child's still alive.
Yeah, I think.
Sterling, 5-star.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, man. That's what I thought. I can report back that the child was very well behaved. I think he's a 5-year-old and you don't know what you're going to get with a 5-year-old.
No.
And I can say that he was very easy to look after.
Better Hold behaved on. Than you.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Will his parents be listening to this podcast?
I think we've stumbled upon something here.
Yeah. I don't think.
Golden review.
I don't think they will. But if they are, they might want to know, though, the following things about the child. Whilst he was well behaved, he did say and do some strange things.
Yeah.
So when we were playing cricket in the garden.
I was going to say, you were trying to figure out what you could do with said child.
Well, I thought a little game of cricket in the garden would be good. I say cricket. Yeah. I use the term loosely because I'm not a very sporty man. So only really at my disposal had a walking stick and a tennis ball.
Okay, so more like baseball.
Kind of. But anyway, we played some cricket in the garden. At one stage, he needed to wee. Now, if you've ever been to my flat, there's a really big courtyard that is full of trees and bushes. And it's quite a beautiful place.
Yeah.
If you need a wee, quite a lot of choice for you if you don't want to run upstairs and go to the bathroom.
I actually remember there's a little bench there that I went and sat away during a picnic once and had my boiled eggs while everyone else was under the tree.
I actually do remember that.
Yeah.
So instead of picking, one of the ample foliage that was available to him, he weed against the side of one of the other flats.
Oh, wow. Marking territory.
Yeah. And I just felt that was a bit too much like a hate crime for me. I have nothing against these neighbors, and I was worried that they would sort of, at that stage look out the window and just see a little boy weeing against their wall.
Do you think anyone was watching?
Well, I do know that our other sets of neighbors that lived next door to the wall that got weed on, they were aware of what was going on. But luckily, that's a set of neighbors that has been known to partake in the middle of the doobie. So
they might say partake in weeing on walls. This is our thing.
So I think that would have been fine.
Okay, so they wouldn't have necessarily thought it was out of the ordinary.
No, and to be fair, when he started doing it, I could have stopped him. But I thought, I don't want to go near a weeing child.
Mid-flow.
Yeah.
The thing is, Adam dangerous. Sandler would have you go up and join him so that he could feel like that was normal.
Yeah, or at least we on your own flat to kind of even things out.
But I'm on a, you know, I'm on the first floor.
Well, you need to drink a lot of water.
It's got a high wee.
Wear a corset.
Then shower time was also quite interesting.
Yeah, more weeing.
No, actually not weeing, which I would expect because everybody loves a good wee in the shower. But he happily climbed into the shower, but he did seem kind of adverse to washing himself.
Okay.
Which is a bit of a problem because I was kind of aware of the water restrictions.
Yeah.
And then in an attempt to maybe get him to wash himself better, I might have made the water restrictions a bit worse.
Oh, wow.
Because I thought I'd fill up, you know, a bowl with cold water and then just throw it over into the shower and make him really cold if he didn't shower properly.
Like you a made bit of it a, into a game.
Yeah, a bit of a harmless like, hey, you're going to get cold if you don't get under the warm tap.
And how did that work out for him?
He seemed to shower quite quickly, actually. I think it was. All right.
Andrew, I hope you're writing these down. I mean,
I'm taking notes.
One of these days, Megan's going to be having to take her own showers.
Well, yeah.
Just there with a big bucket of freezing cold water.
Well, at the moment.
That's good parenting.
At the moment, Megan, like, because we normally bath her in a small bath in the bath. It's bathception. And at the moment, she's not sitting down. So we bath her standing up. So she's effectively having a shower, but we have to be the shower with like cups and things. It's really frustrating.
It's pretty cool.
The other thing that I'll mention that he did, and this is probably the last weird thing that I thought was something that I probably wouldn't do if I was in his position, but he seemed incredibly excited to do it, is when we were trying to get him dressed so we could go out and have supper.
Yeah.
He got his underwear on, which was good. He got the
good
got
start
it on pretty quickly. Yeah, it is a good start.
Strong start.
Yeah. You wanted the underwear to
you
go
can
on
only
first.
Go up from there.
Yeah, in terms of order, that's good. He wasn't like putting it on last or trying to wear it as a hat. Like it was good off the block. But then he was more interested in just hiding around the flat in his underwear.
Just in underwear?
Yeah, just running around, choosing places to hide. It was exceptionally hard to get him to put on more clothes than just his underwear.
Sounds a lot like you, Simon.
Look, I...
running around the flat in your underwear, hiding.
I do quite like wearing minimal clothes at home. Yeah. I think Dill will probably attest to many a times where he's come to record something or watch a movie and I'll answer the door just in like my boxers and be like, welcome.
It is true. It's happened.
Yeah. And so I at least I know what that is.
Sometimes he hides. I have to go find him.
But one thing I've never done, and this is what he did, is at one stage, whilst hiding, he took off his underwear. So he was just essentially a naked boy running around the flat. And I don't do that when Dylan comes around. So at least
he
I've progressed.
Saves that for his own time. Okay, so the overall experience, happy?
Yeah, good one.
Did you play TV games?
We did.
Yeah. I watched your Instagram feed.
Okay.
Who won? Who won? And what did you play?
Well, he will tell you that he won, but I don't think he realizes how winning works in that game.
The game?
Or in any game, actually. He seems to quite happily just declare himself the winner, whether or not he has done the thing that you're meant to achieve at that point. But, you know, fair enough. Let him win. We played some Rayman Origins.
Oh, that's a great game.
It is a great game.
Rayman Ackerman Origins.
Yeah, it's quite a boring game, but he enjoyed it. The retail industry and how he built an empire.
Brilliant. Well, I think, you know, if there's a thing here to learn, it's that you should let five-year-olds feel like they are winning at life now while they still can.
Yes, yeah.
Because once you hit six, man, you just realize, oh man, this world is a harsh place.
Also, in 15 years' time, when he tries to start a shopping empire, it might not go too well.
I have a question for you guys.
Yeah.
The lover's seat at the cinema.
Yeah.
Ooh, I love it.
Do you guys use it?
I have never used the lover's seat.
Only use the lover's seat. No, I don't only. I've used it a couple of times, once or twice with my wife and once or twice with Richard Graham.
Okay, good. I was going to ask, do you think the lover's seat needs to necessarily be reserved purely for lovers?
Well, I mean, Richard and I do love each other and I would say it enhanced our viewing of Pacific Rim.
Oh boy, good movie choice.
I would say that the lover's seat is...
Sorry, can you
everything that's wrong with the movies today?
Sorry, can you have an opinion on the lover's seat having never sat in it?
Yeah. Well, I know the concept and how it works.
Okay, why is this wrong?
It is wrong because when you go to the movies, you're there, you've paid so much money to go and watch the film.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to be canoodling and taking your eyes off the screen. If you're taking your eyes off the screen, you're wasting your own time and your own money.
This is the problem with the lover's seat. I don't feel like sitting next to somebody without an armrest. Because let's be honest, almost all the time you sit next to somebody, there isn't an armrest. It's only in the cinemas and on an airplane that they have a big, sturdy armrest barrier. And all those other times you sit next to somebody, the fact that there isn't an armrest there doesn't make you just like climb on top of them and start making out. Yeah. Like, it's not inspiring to do that.
Well, see, I don't think it's made for making out necessarily. This reminds me of one of my very first dates I ever had in my life.
Mm.
The lady's name was Elizabeth. The movie was the film where the mother and daughter go on a road trip.
Yeah. I think it's called Mother and Daughter Road Trip.
Did you say her name
Susan
was Elizabeth?
Sarandon.
It was Elizabeth.
Oh, Elizabeth.
Anyway, so what I don't remember a lot from this date or from the movie. I definitely remember the movie not being good.
Yeah.
But on this date, what I do remember is that I tried to place my arm around her.
Yeah.
Like I thought I should
But now wait, are you sitting in a lover's seat here?
No, we're sitting in a normal seat. And this is why I think things went wrong. It's back then, back when they didn't need gimmicks to get people into the cinema, such as 3D and no armrests. you know, there were no lover's seats. So here I was with this Elizabeth trying to be a decent boyfriend on the first date. And I put my arm around her, but obviously the angle wasn't very comfortable and my arm fell asleep and was just very painful.
Okay.
Had I been in a lover's seat, however,
I think it would have been a bit better.
I think the access to the shoulder would have been a bit easier to get to, and therefore that wouldn't have happened. And so good old 14-year-old Simon would have probably been a bit better for it.
It kind of rushes those early stages for a young couple to go into a lover's seat situation.
Where, well, once again, I don't think
it's meant to be an awkward thing where the arm is the only part of you that's kind of outstretched to the other person, as opposed to on the lover's seat, an arm over a shoulder almost implies, come in and know my bosom.
I think both of you...
That's
both
the male bosom, by the way.
Both of you are expecting too much of this lover's seat.
I don't think it's meant for canoodling
or kerfuffling.
Then don't call it a lover's seat.
Any kind of coital activity.
You can't call it a lover's seat.
It's the name that's wrong. Because when I think of love, I think of the act of love.
Yeah, exactly.
I think of people actually making actual love in the cinema, right there in a packed out cinema.
Yeah, and it's like on the website, the seats are purple as opposed to the general grey of the plebs who don't have love in their life and cold stone grey hearts.
A colleague of mine said that he'd watched Rogue One, the new Star Wars story, but that he could barely see anything because he booked so late and he was like down in the bottom but on a corner and the angle was all off and stuff. And I said, was there literally no other seats? And he said, well, there was a lover's seat, but I was going with my mom. And I thought, that's odd, because I'm pretty sure that just being in a lover's seat isn't going to make you suddenly turn to the person next to you, whether they're your lover, your own mom, and go, well, we're in the lover's seat.
Yeah, when the light from the screen touches your hair in that certain way, mom. Yeah.
So, I don't know.
I mean, is the lover's seat two seats without an armrest in the middle, or is it kind of compressed so that you are slightly closer together? It's like 1.5 seats. No. I don't know. Is it two seats?
Because otherwise the kind of gaps would be all wrong.
So then you're just one cup holder short. No, I don't like that.
It's not. It's one big seat.
I'm saying it's two seats width.
It's a width of two seats. How do you feel about the Prestige then? Not the film, but the cinema.
Well,
for those that aren't in South Africa and don't know what we're talking about, the Prestige is a cinema where sort of the luxury cinema, it's filled with lazy boys as opposed to normal chairs.
I've been, I think, twice maybe and loved it.
Okay.
And mainly just because I could lie back all the way. And almost fall asleep. The only thing I would say is that it was really
cold.
That's
not a good thing.
It's really cold.
How is this a good thing?
It was great.
I hate for it to all come down to money again. If you're paying to go see
a movie,
why do you want to be in the situation where you may as well have been on your couch put on anything and gone to sleep.
No, that was an exaggeration. I don't think I've ever fallen asleep in a film at the cinema.
But you haven't watched Friends of Mine. 3:10 to Snoozer, or whatever it's called.
Yeah, well, Lost in Translation. If anyone has used a lover's seat out there and have felt, let's say, obliged to love in a lover's seat, please let me know at podcast@brotherstreep.com. I'd love to know if there's anyone out there who's actually used the lover's seat for what it's so kind of titularly implies.
Hectic. Titularly. what I don't understand is, both in the cinema prestige and in the lover seat themselves, the prestige has sort of like seats that are next to each other, similar to lover seat, except I think it is more separate. Mm-hmm. And a lover seat is obviously a two seats combined. In both those cases, if you try to book them online and you're just one person, they won't allow you to book them. But I kind of feel like you should be allowed to book your half.
Yeah.
Because then you could meet, blind date. You could meet someone. That'd be pretty fun.
You don't just want the whole lover seat to yourself.
No. I'm not selfish. I think it's more like...
Cool. That's like on an airplane when the other person doesn't show up and suddenly you can like stretch out.
Okay, that is fun. But if you're on a lazy boy, to suddenly sprawl yourself across on two. The width way of a lazy boy, it's probably missing the point.
Yeah.
But imagine that if you're single and you're just like, ooh, I feel like a bit of a dare right now. I'm a bit risky. I'm going to book half the lover's seat, see what happens.
I've got a question though.
Maybe your colleague's mom will pitch up.
Who in their right mind is going to book that other seat? When there's one person who's booked a lover's seat, you go, I'll go sit next to that person. Creepy, that, man.
I might do that. We went to a Babylon store and a bunch of mates of
Babylon
ours.
Babylon store.
That's the one.
Very cool.
That kind of sounds like the start of some reggae song.
Brah, Babylon store.
Yeah. Aye, aye.
Aye, aye.
I only listen to reggae music by pirates.
Okay.
I don't know if you've never been to Babylon store. It's out in Franschhoek. It's this beautiful wine farm / restaurant / garden. It's it's just a great place to go to. But what they do have is their restaurant likes to use locally produced things.
Yeah.
And so they've got like lots of fruits and vegetables in the garden and interesting like basil and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Interesting basil. It's like just not normal basil. Yeah. Interesting basil.
Not boring basil. But what my wife likes to do, she just picks the stuff when she's there. She just will fill her handbag up with lemons and oranges. And she says that that's what you meant to do, that everyone...
Lemons and oranges?
Whoa.
I thought you were going to say like little seedlings or like leaves of stuff. Not the actual produce that they're going to bring out.
I think if they grew watermelon, she would happily take a watermelon off
in
the tree.
So I know that at the restaurant, there's a table which they put fruit out that you can take from.
Okay.
But,
that's
been picked and it's in the restaurant and it's there for you to take, like specifically.
I'm on your side. I don't think she should be doing it. And I've come up with an idea, but I will need people's help for this.
Okay.
And I'll also probably need a not to listen to this episode, which unfortunately is hard to do.
Unlikely,
what I want to happen is...
Maybe you can just cancel your internet at home.
Yeah.
For like the next week.
For her and other people who suffer from a similar thing of just wanting to pick the things there.
Kleptomania.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Citromania. I think we should have an alarm system. The moment someone picks something, it doesn't have to be an official one. It can just be we've put an alarm there and we activate it when we see someone do it.
Yeah.
Just goes off and you just watch them squirm. Be like, I thought we were allowed to.
Well, it's an easy way to do that. You put all the plants on big scales.
Yeah.
And then if they like go down in weight at all via the picking of one fruit, the scale moves down and it goes, you don't need somebody watching all the time, just big scales.
Or like sniffer birds. Because I don't know if dogs can smell fruit, but I think birds like fruit.
You don't know if
dogs can smell so many things. Why would they not be able to smell fruit?
I feel like dogs
can hone in on drugs in the airport.
They specifically can't smell fruit.
Yeah, but I feel like dogs aren't interested in fruit. Like, I don't know if you've ever given like a banana to a dog. What do? They just ignore it. Yeah.
Would a dog eat a fruit? I have no idea.
write to us at podcast@brotherstreep.com.
Yeah.
Do dogs eat fruit?
20 questions. 40 questions.
All right, in this round, I have something that I'm thinking of, and Dylan and Andrew only have 20 questions to find out what it is. Will they get it? Won't they get it?
It's like 20 questions.
For the sake of the audience, they can't hear this. I am thinking of Benjamin Franklin. All right.
I was hoping you were going to tell us there.
No, that was for the sake of the audience only, Andrew. Unfortunately did not get to hear that.
I want to know if people are blocking their ears for that so that they can legitimately play along, or if they're listening to that and then listening to us flounder around trying to find the thing when they actually know what it is. Anyway, we'll never know. Andrew, are we going to work as a team on this thing, or are we going to go on our own?
I think we'll work as a team up front, but then it'll become very competitive towards the end.
Now you've given your game plan away. It's like you had an ace up the sleeve.
This is by far...
I can see. You're wearing see-through sleeves and I can see that ace.
This is by far my worst game. I am terrible at this.
You are quite bad at it. Yeah. So let's start with you.
Okay. Is it mineral?
No.
Is it animal?
Yes.
It's animal. The first yes.
Well done.
I'm immediately thinking Snoopy, but I'm not going to say that.
Always go with your gut.
Why are you immediately thinking Snoopy?
It's too soon to just diverge.
I'll whittle it down some more. Is it fictitious?
No.
Is this thing, animal, person? I guess it could be person.
Yeah.
Should I ask it as a person?
You can ask whatever you want,
Andrew. Is it a person?
I need to check with you first. Do you think Snoopy is a person?
Well, it's up for debate. Can Garfield talk to humans?
It is a person.
It is a person.
Wow, guys, you're four things in, and you've
found it's a person.
Narrowed it down to that it's a person.
Okay, is it a person you've met?
No. What's quite cool, I just want to give you the stats at this point.
Oh, good.
Because I want you to feel like you can do it, that you can get it. So it's a non-fictitious person, I think is what you said.
Yeah.
That means you're dealing with about 107 billion people that it could be.
Okay.
It's exciting, isn't it?
107 billion people.
107 billion people, and you have like 16 more questions. I mean, you could do it. You could do it.
That's so many people.
Yeah, he's been quite clever there. He could have said 7 billion and we would have known the person was alive.
Yeah.
But he's gone for the whole of time.
That is true. Okay, so are they alive?
No.
Nice.
They're not alive.
Dead.
Why is it nice they're dead? That's horrible.
I feel like I need to add a little proviso here at this point. The ghost could be knocking about somewhere. I don't know. I'm not saying this person famously has a ghost or anything. I'm just saying
they just don't famously not have one.
Yeah, you just don't know. You don't know with ghosts. You really don't.
Okay. So I guess what I want to ask is this person in the entertainment industry?
No. That's not what they're known for.
Was this person a president of a country?
No.
Oh, wouldn't that have been good though?
That would have been very political.
Thanks. That would have been very, very good.
How many questions are we on?
You've asked 8 questions.
Okay.
Oh, we're still, less than halfway.
Yeah, no, we're swimming in questions here. Yeah.
Hey, what about sports? Was this person involved in... Simon doesn't care about sports.
No, but that might be why he went for this.
Part of the whittling
down.
Why
are you trying to say I don't care about sports? You just heard on this podcast that I played walking stick cricket.
That's true.
Clearly okay. I'm passionate.
Well, was this person involved with sports?
No, Andrew, don't be ridiculous. Why would he be involved
Why would he
sports?
Pick somebody...
I mean, he was...
Sports. Andrew, you know that... involved in this.
So sorry.
Can I say that he was
squandering our questions?
He was known for playing a sport, like as in people, like if you were to go onto this person's Wikipedia page, that will come up.
Yeah,
but it's not what he's like well known for. It's not what his or her claim to fame.
Simon picked that up quite late, but he gave us a freebie there.
Right. Yeah, to give you a freebie.
It's a he.
Well, I don't understand how the question is. Was he involved in a sport? No. I just need to say, if you looked him up, he was definitely involved in a sport. How does that work as a clue?
All right, well, here we go. I'll tell you for how. Yeah. I've just admitted on this podcast for being a cricketer in my garden.
Yes.
So now if someone wants to do a Wikipedia entry on me and they're really like struggling to find things, they might quote as a source that I was into cricket in my garden.
Okay.
But that's not necessarily what I'm known for.
Right.
I'm known for my sultry smooth tones.
And those ghost noises you sometimes do. Okay. Did this person die before the age of 50?
No.
Right.
Okay, so they're old.
They old did not. Guy.
Well, you're halfway through it.
Okay.
So I reckon let's move to something else. We can come back later when you're feeling more fresh.
Okay.
Come inside the Brother Street Warehouse of Rejected Ideas.
Welcome to the Warehouse of Rejected Ideas.
Yeah, it's so dusty.
This is a big old warehouse allergies. Of the worst ideas ever, full stop. What are you doing?
Sorry. I'm adding like context.
I think he's okay. Going on about how dusty it is and he's got allergies.
It's weird. Let me host a section, man. But Andrew had a birthday recently. He turned 10 meters tall. And in light of his birthday, we thought we'd bring some rejected ideas for birthday presents.
Ooh.
I'll kick us off with some little ideas. The current climate.
Yeah.
We want to save water.
Yeah.
We go on and on and on about it, and yet that countdown on those big billboards seems to still be dropping.
Yeah.
No matter how many times we mention it on this podcast, the dams still get more and more depleted.
No matter how many quirky videos we've just released.
Yeah. I think you, as a rejected idea, we need to give people water unwise plants.
Ooh.
Ooh.
You know, the kind of plants that really need a lot of water to survive.
What kind of plants
are
we thinking
about? I've done some research here. We're looking at the water hyssop. This thing needs a lot of water to survive. It ain't no succulent, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
The scarlet swamp hibiscus. Sure, these things usually occur in like giant kind of swampy areas of USA.
Yeah.
And are doing fine there. But it would just be kind of a bad idea to give somebody...
I mean, how much water are we talking about to water these things? Gallons?
Gallons daily.
How big are these plants?
Huge.
Okay, so it's not like a really, really small...
It's inconveniently big as well. My favorite one is the pickerel weed. Ooh. Because, you know, not only is it bad for water, you're also giving somebody a weed.
Yeah.
So, I don't know about that.
I've heard that lettuces are 90% water.
Yeah.
So, maybe you could give them a lettuce as well.
If you just wring them out.
Do you think lettuces are to blame for the water?
Maybe.
Like problems we're having. Maybe someone somewhere grew too much lettuce.
Yeah.
And now we're facing the consequences.
I have another idea.
All right. Yeah.
Wild, wacky, inflatable, arm-flailing tube man.
Well, that's a great idea.
Bear with me. Yeah. I know you think it's a good idea.
No, I mean, I love those things.
You would love that thing for about a week.
No, forever.
It would not be forever.
I'm a waving arms man, inflatable tube man for life kind of guy.
I just don't know. Especially, you know, we live in flats. Like, where's this thing going to go?
Anywhere.
Just anywhere. Just
foot of the bed.
You've just had an amazing idea, like an actually good idea.
Well, thank you. What an honor to hear that from you.
Oh, this is the rejected section. A desktop waving arms inflatable, like a little one. Ooh, that's USB.
Oh, I'm in.
That's amazing. Just next to your computer, just sitting there all day waving
please
around.
Can I have one? Please, Dol, can I have one? Please.
I'm bringing to the warehouse.
I know, but I'm giving you the intellectual property. It's yours. Still,
look, you could put one of those things... Literally
they pretty much have that.
Middle.
It's called Baby Groot.
That's true.
It sits there on your desktop and dances around like the same kind of thing.
You could put one of these tube men like in between myself and Christine in our bed and I would still be happy with having that there 24/7.
Right.
It's like it would always be fun. You'd look up and you'd go like...
In your bed?
Oh, man,
you want to sleep with one of those things on
always,
your bed?
It would be hilarious. And also, it would make sure that everyone stays to the side of the bed. Very, very happy.
Apart
very
from
happy
the
about.
Inflatable arm-waving tube man.
But,
he goes everywhere.
He's welcome.
That's true. That guy does not keep himself. Wander. He does not keep himself to himself. I just feel like it's one of those things you'd be given like a puppy and you think, this is the best... And after a couple of weeks, like,
down the toilet.
This is the worst. It's kind of gathering dust in the garage.
Why is your puppy
gathering dust?
Wait, we're talking about tube men. Not flailing its arms around outside like the person who gave it to you hoped it would.
Huh. Well, I mean, I can't bring myself to reject that idea because I mean, that's amazing. You could put one like... you could have one constantly on in your lounge. So if burglars look in, they're like,
come alone.
There's a party going on in there.
Can't go there. That man has incredibly long arms.
That is a huge party for one guy to have by himself.
All right. I've got some great ideas. Andrew, because you are having the birthday, I think you can decide whether you like these or not.
All right.
What do you get the man who has everything? Get him nothing. So just like an inconveniently big box so that you can fit as much nothing in it as possible.
Hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on.
Yeah.
I've got an issue with this because you've given him a rad box.
Yeah. No, it's an inconveniently big box.
But the bigger the box, it suddenly becomes cool. The small box is pointless.
Okay, well, the box, yeah. I mean,
give him a small box of nothing.
No, actually, well, I give him a big box, but it's like really creased and ugly. And like, it's really, it's just like, it's one of those boxes.
Not in his imagination,
like,
when it's a castle.
It's one of those boxes that at one stage was like, had perfectly good, like, you know, box around it, like pretty colors, but the sticky tape's been pulled off it. So it's like missing parts of it. And like, you wanted to regift it, but you can't.
So it has character.
You can't. Tell us more about this awesome box. Yeah. I mean, I like the nothing. Can't you just give it to him in his hand, though, out of your hand?
I feel like, because then it's like almost like you haven't given him a gift.
As opposed to this crap box.
Wait, hold on. So you give someone the box and they open it up and there's just nothing
inside.
There's
nothing inside it, obviously, nothing.
But when you give someone a box, there's an expectation there. So then it's really awkward. What do you then say?
Well, this is why it's a rejected idea, Andrew. But what I like, I mean, you could probably...
That is the flaw with this section. Yeah. Sometimes forget what's going on.
Trying to poke holes in terrible ideas.
I mean, you could, if you're being unrealistic, I'm sure you could like hook up a Higgs boson collider or one of those, whatever that thing's called, to the box to try to get it to suck out anything, like any space,
give
or
him a vacuum,
gravity, and it's just, you know, some sort of black hole, like literally nothing in there.
I recently bought a new vacuum and it's actually working quite nicely. I like it a lot.
The other thing I thought you could get someone, because all right, so there's sort of two things that are kind of acceptable these days for birthday. In fact, you did one of them last year. So I think it was last year or the year before. Andrew's very kind enough to say that he didn't want a birthday present this year. People that want to give him something, can they make a donation to a specific good cause?
Yeah.
Very good. I like that. You get the other thing that is a bit
I gave
more
him chocolates.
That was a good cause.
There's the other thing, which is a little bit more suspect in terms of the person receiving the present, where they haven't necessarily asked for that, but you've just given them, you know, a card that says, I've donated money to this good cause. And that's an awkward present to get, because in one hand it's really good.
Yeah.
In the other hand it's like, maybe I just wanted a Toblerone.
Yeah.
So, it's you know. But the third one, the third option that I think is perfect for a good rejected idea, is you give them a present of a donation that you've made to yourself.
Oh, yes.
Happy birthday. I've spent your birthday money on me.
On this lovely shirt.
Thank you so much for your donation to Simon.
What would you buy yourself for my birthday?
Oh, I mean, how much am I spending?
That's up to you.
If it's the beginning of the month and I'm doing my usual 100, 250 on a gift, I maybe get myself that much in Smarties, maybe.
Okay.
Like I like a good old pack of Smarties.
Well, that's something that you can easily share.
Is it like a voucher or...
It just says...
Is it cash?
It's... Well, I mean, I'll give it to myself probably in cash.
Yeah.
But what I give Andrew is just says, thank you very much for your 150 rand donation to Simon.
Whoa, hold on. I'm not giving you any money.
No, you haven't. But I have donated the money to myself on your behalf.
I see.
Wait, hold on.
It is the worst. This is worse than the crap box.
But it's
box.
Not even, though, because he hasn't actually given anyone anything.
He's given
himself is nothing.
Hey,
that
listen.
Means he hasn't... He hasn't given anything.
I've done the hard job of getting a template on Word and put together a card.
You've spent money on an item that maybe you wouldn't have spent because there was no occasion to have spent it, other than you've been given this weird voucher that you gave to yourself. And now you feel obliged to go buy something that's probably like, you know, superfluous.
Oh, Smarties are not superfluous. What a lot I got. All what right. A little Andrew has.
Yeah. I have some bad ideas.
I have a feeling Andrew's going to get this section wrong. They're going to be great ideas.
Okay.
He's going to suggest something awesome like a waving arms inflatable.
What do you always get for your birthday?
Money.
You get socks.
Oh, I don't like socks.
And you get chocolate.
I like
here
chocolate.
Here we go. Chocolate socks. You put them on, they're all sticky, they melt, terrible.
Chocolate socks.
Yeah, chocolate socks.
That's it.
That's my first idea.
I'm gonna pick with you a fight with this one.
Okay.
Because chocolate socks, I think the average person would eat them rather than try and wear them.
They're not
in
for
which
eating.
Case, it's the same.
It's not eating chocolate. It's like 99% cocoa chocolate. It's very bitter.
There's a big market for like chocolate underpants.
Really?
Yeah. People who want to like buy little sexy
people in the
lover's
seat. It's the chemical.
Yeah. Now, what, you know, just add some chocolate. Chocolate socks is like for the like
the foot
sexy
footage.
Time at winter.
Okay, well, I hate that I've made a good idea. My next idea is, I don't know if you've seen the craze at the moment is these fidget spinners.
Yeah. Yeah.
You hold them in your finger and you spin them around and your life is momentarily better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, there's all these people that are spinning these things around. They might get damaged. Maybe you need a case for your fidget spinner.
Yeah.
But what happens if the case for the fidget spinner is equally as fidgetable as the actual fidget spinner? So yeah. That people end up just fidgeting with the case instead of the fidget spinner within. It's a fidget spinner case.
What? I'm trying to wrap my head around this thing.
So you're proposing
a
case.
Yeah.
But you're assuming that the case is going to be as good as a fidget spinner.
Yeah.
So basically you just want to make a cheaper fidget spinner. A case for a thing is never going to cost as much as a thing that needs to be encased.
Do you think so?
Well, of course.
Yeah, well, my guitar case is considerably less than my guitar.
You buy a nice guitar and you buy a case for, you know, a tenth of the price.
My space case is definitely less than my beautiful pencil crayons.
All my magic scarves cost more than the briefcase that they're kept in. You know, and linking rings and cards and stuff. So what you've done there is you've created a really good idea.
Has anyone
you've undercut the fidget spinning industry?
Has anyone used a fidget spinner?
I actually
used them in Inception originally, I think. They're totems.
They're 100% giving them away for free on wish.com.
Really?
That's how weird this product is it's managed to get itself onto a website that sells things.
Yeah.
And they're listed as being free.
That's how weird wish.com is.
You
really
pay for the shipping.
I can't find that free part of wish.com. You'll have to tell me later. I have one more idea for birthdays.
Okay. And this is a fidget spinner. It's someone who's sitting in the lover's seat, not wanting to do anything, and you just spin them round and round like a lazy Susan.
No, it's not. But it's
that's your mom in a lover's seat.
I hope my mom's quite frigid.
Well, sometimes the greatest gift you can give to someone is throwing them a party. And and so,
or a smarty.
Or a smarty. Yeah, that would be good if you shared. And I was just thinking, why don't you throw them a party, but the theme of the party has to be someone else that's also born on the same day that they're born.
I love this idea.
So, for example, I was born on the same day as Rafael Nadal. Tennis party. Big time.
Why is this a rejected idea?
Because I hate tennis.
Okay, but
I
was born on the same day as Nelson Mandela.
No.
Mandela party.
No, you were born on the same day as Kristen Bell. So yours would have to be a Kristen Bell themed party.
Yeah. A Bellin party.
And
wait, so you don't get... Yeah.
You would be sharing your birthday party theme with John Newton, the author of the song Amazing Grace.
Brilliant.
And former... A slave activist.
Terrible. Great. Activist.
Yeah, good. Good.
So wait, what's wrong with this? I'd love to go to Dylan's Amazing Grace theme party. How sweet the sound of that party.
I have a feeling that I might actually do this for my next party.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought this was a terrible idea.
How could you think that this is a terrible idea? I thought when you first started speaking that it was going to be like your whole party is overshadowed by another person, you don't get any attention or something like that.
Oh.
Not that you theme it on something that somebody better than you does.
And also,
like,
I don't think... Great.
Yeah, it's there. You feel insignificant because they've achieved
it. Right.
They have a Wikipedia article about them on their birthday.
That's great. And why didn't you choose J-Lo or Anna Paquin for me?
I looked on your day for ages.
Are you kidding
me? And the only person I recognized was John Newton.
Kramer from Seinfeld.
And I had to go back in time.
Come on.
No, he's not there.
Yeah,
is
he's
he?
There.
I'll check it out.
I would know.
Have you had a party theme?
Yeah.
Rejected.
Theme party.
Oh.
I'll tell you an actual terrible rejected birthday present that I once witnessed.
Okay.
And this is really bad. So, you know, in like high school, early high school, people would have parties all the time. And, well, I guess once a year for their birthdays. And you were obliged to give them money. And I think, I don't know if I was the cheapest man in the world, but I have a feeling everyone was giving like 20 euro notes, basically, to people. This is like grade 7, 8.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was like the going rate. So I went to this party and this guy gave the girl whose party it was an envelope and she opened it up and it was a 100 rand note. And cool. That was like more money than anyone else had ever seen kind of thing.
Someone's vying for the love seat.
And she was like so stoked and she's like, "Whoa!" She gave him a big hug and he goes, "It's not real. I printed it." Is that just the worst? That's actually happened. Wow. What have they done?
I have a very similar story where at the time, I think people were quite a big fan of the band Tweak. And yes, someone opened up this CD-shaped gift that then had like a flyer in that was a Tweak flyer. So they thought they were getting a Tweak CD. Opened up the case and it was like something like Celine Dion. So it's also like, oh, I really wanted that.
Yeah, that would be
rejected.
Rejected.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20 questions.
All right, we're back with 20 questions. You've had 10 questions according to my count. Maybe I missed one. Maybe I didn't. Who knows?
Yeah.
Who are you thinking this mystery woman is?
Mystery woman. I don't believe that for a second. Neil Armstrong. Is it Neil Armstrong?
No, it's not.
Wow, you went specific.
Sorry, I just suddenly it
you
came
pulled
to
an
me.
Andrew.
Yeah. Sorry, Andrew, I went rogue.
That's all right. So, dead old guy.
I'm going to give you a clue. It's not really a clue. It's more just guidance.
Yeah.
Is I think you were onto something earlier when you were trying to sort of sift through sort of what this person might be known for.
Genre.
Yeah.
Right. So, not sport, not entertainment. Okay, I'm just going to ask the broader question. Politics?
I already asked if he was a president.
I know, but that's too specific.
Yeah, but this person was actually involved in politics.
Oh.
Amongst other things, but politics, one of the biggies.
Oh, he's involved in everything. He's probably like...
Did this person give a famous speech?
I don't know if he gave a famous speech, but he has been known for some famous sayings here
Andrew,
and there.
It's a guy.
Oh,
I mean,
sweet.
Keep saying he.
I mean, she has been known...
Famous
some
sayings.
Of her sayings.
Man, this
famous
is tough. I preferred sayings. When it's like a hair comb and you can kind of get to it because it's like in the room and you just have to look around long enough.
Yeah, maybe this person is a hair comb.
Andrew and Simon's prepared a little bit better than usual.
Okay, I'm going to ask the question, are they from South Africa?
Oh, very nice.
No.
I'm going to piggyback off that question.
No, do it, please.
Are they from Greece?
No, why so specific? And what politicians do you know from Greece?
Oh, tons.
Really?
Oh, I'm going to name them, yeah. It's hardly the time
why
or place.
Greece? You're no, being me.
Definitely not Greece.
Okay, from the UK.
No.
What?
Not the UK.
That's more chance time for a yes. It's time for a yes. Were they from the US?
Yes. There we go.
At the end of this, when we definitely don't win, can we count up who got more yeses? And then I get a point.
Is it Mark Twain?
It's not Mark Twain. I think you only have two more questions left.
Can we get one more clue then? Because this has been really tough.
Look, the people at home are listening to this going, I already know what it is. That's mainly because I said in their ears what it was.
Yeah.
You can have another clue.
Hey, yeah. Listen, this is not a question, but was Mark Twain like a good... Is that a good one?
Yeah, you can decide at the end of this. Oh, okay. So one of the biggest clues is that he was involved in quite a lot of stuff. Bit of an all-rounder, you know, like Sean Pollock, except not involved heavily in sports.
That's could be seen as super, super vague of a clue, though, surely.
I'll give you, he was born, I'll tell you when he was born and when he died. At least you'll know what kind of period of time you're dealing with.
All right.
He was born on the 17th of January, 1705.
Oh, boy.
And he died on the 17th of... He died on the 17th of April, 1790.
Okay.
So he lived to a ripe old age.
So, I mean, there can't be that many people who would be that well known.
Yeah.
This person is very well known.
And, like extremely
But I mean,
well
the way you said like, oh yeah, he's kind of involved in everything, but he's involved in politics. But he's kind of involved in everything.
Politics well, he's quite heavily thing. He's quite heavily involved in politics, but he's also very heavily known for some other things.
For like great beards? That's not a question. It's not a question.
I just can't wait to get through this so we can find out who this person is.
Sorry, we'll go for it.
Pick apart what the clues were.
Okay, well, I'm going to jump in with the second last question.
What is it?
Abe Lincoln.
No.
Pretty sure Abe Lincoln was a president, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was a president.
That's why I'm not good at this game.
Okay, so I have the final question. Are we down to the final question?
I think we might be down to the final question.
I've stopped counting.
Man. Look, can I have one extra question just for whittling?
Okay, yeah, you can have one extra question.
Is it Oscar Wilde?
It's
not
British.
Oscar Wilde, yeah. I'm not going to allow you to ask that question.
That was not a whittling question. That was just a terrible question.
Was it?
Yeah, he's British.
Yeah, I know. Oh, he says he's from the US.
Yeah, asked him that.
Yeah, sorry, I thought he was from Greece. Yeah. Okay, well, let's count that as my last terrible question. Andrew, you get the last actual question.
Oh, right.
Okay, do you know what? I'm going to give you a nice big clue.
All right.
He was also known... Despite some politics stuff, he was known as an inventor.
Okay. Now there's two people that spring to mind.
Leonardo?
No.
He's not from the US.
He is from the US.
Leonardo?
No, this person.
Yeah, that's what I'm
trying
saying.
To guess.
Yeah.
Oh, my sake.
You guys are really good at this.
Okay. I'm going to say Thomas Edison.
You are incorrect. It was the other one that
George
you're probably
Washington.
Thinking of. No, it was the other one that you're probably thinking
Einstein.
Of.
Oh, the kite dude.
Thomas Jefferson.
Thomas.
It was. His name? Come on.
Ah.
Come on, Andrew.
It's not George Washington. It's
another name for money. Sometimes people call them these things.
De Niro.
Oh, crap.
Benjamin Franklin.
There we go.
Well done.
Benjamin Franklin, guys. Renowned polymath, leading author, printer, political theorist, politician, Freemason, postmaster, scientist, inventor, civic activist, statesman, and diplomat.
And lightning strike survivor.
He was also pretty into slaves. So that's, you know.
Oh.
I think we need to bear that in mind before we put him on too much of a pedestal.
Right. A little smudge on the old...
Yeah, he was no John Newton.
You know, speaking of Benjamin Franklin and the lightning in the air, can you hear that?
What was that?
It's crackling. No way. That's not lightning.
What?
The quiz! That's right. It's quiz time.
Hurrah.
This week's quiz is the Chris Pratt quiz.
Ooh. Oh, man. Are you just going through the...
Quiz
what's
Pratt.
That show you like?
I'm a word. I'm going to then look up like...
The Parks and Recs.
Amy Poehler facts for next week.
Well, now I'll jump around. We're going to start with Christopher Round 1 Pratt. And
nice. Just giving up.
No, that's sad. Question 1 is, what risque profession did Chris Pratt work as but wasn't very good at?
Deep.
Dylan.
Wrestling.
Scaffolding.
Incorrect. Simon is incorrect.
Painting.
Dylan is incorrect. I'm gonna
building.
I'm just gonna say that again. I didn't say risky. I said risque.
Beep. Stripper.
Dylan. Stripper is the correct answer.
Oh.
He did say risque, but I heard it as risky for some reason.
I'm pretty sure he was.
Maybe he was like
a scaffolder, like
stripper. Sexy scaffolder.
Yeah. Yes, but I'm gonna put up these
risque.
Poles.
Right. Question 2 is, what language other than English is he fluent in?
Beep.
Simon.
French
is incorrect.
Mandarin
is incorrect. Dylan.
Beep. Mexican. Spanish. Beep. Spanish
is incorrect.
Afrikaans. Wouldn't that be fun?
That would be, but it's wrong. Unfortunately, Dylan.
Beep. Okay. This is German.
Is the right answer, Simon?
I was
well
going
done.
With German.
Well done.
But you didn't.
Christoph Pratt.
Okay. His
French.
his wife Anna Faris has revealed that she bonded with Chris Pratt over their mutual love for collecting what?
Beep.
Simon.
Stamps.
It's incorrect. Dylan.
Coins.
That's wrong.
Beep. Micro machines.
Is wrong, Simon.
Beep dolls.
Dylan. Is wrong.
Beep Lego.
Is wrong. This is a thing that people commonly collect. I don't know anyone who collects it. Dylan.
That's a good
beep
clue.
Beep model cars.
Hold on.
Oh, Dylan beeps.
Model cars.
Is incorrect.
Beep Simon. Ships and bottles.
No.
Seashells.
Okay, this thing.
Hey, say I'm wrong at least.
You're wrong, Dylan.
Thank you.
This
even
thing
acknowledge my
was
answers.
Formerly alive.
Beep.
Simon. Beeps. Quickly, I'm going to have to press
tortoise
you.
Tortoise shells.
Is incorrect.
Fossils.
No, it's incorrect.
Beep horseshoes.
Dodos. Benjamin Franklin.
It's quite small. You're all wrong so far.
Beep snails. Why did you collect snails?
Snails?
Butterflies.
I don't think
dead butterflies.
I mean, snails is the closest you've got, but it's wrong so
dead
far.
Dead butterflies?
Is incorrect.
Beep.
Spiders.
Broader. Some sort of shells.
Broader.
Shells.
I've said shells.
Snails and butterflies are the closest you've got. Broader.
Beep spiders.
Insects.
Dylan is the right, has the right answer.
What?
Insects.
I said spiders, though.
Yeah, spider is insects, not an insect. It's an arachnid. So that's a direct quote from The Office.
Okay, and the final question this round is Chris. Is
short.
Chris, it's four questions. Stop being bitter. Chris used to wrestle and even finished in what place?
Hey,
in a state tournament in high school.
Beep.
He finished the stripping thing, but I also said wrestling earlier.
No. But he didn't say what place he finished. I think he wouldn't go. I mean, first is two. Obviously, I'm going to say second.
Okay.
What's it? Closest wins. First.
Yeah. You what?
First.
Yeah. Well, the closest answer was second because it was fifth, so Simon gets a point.
Yes, boy. Right. I got it.
Didn't even hear the question.
We're moving on to round two, which is first, best, most. You know how it works. His first movies, his the best movies he's done on IMDb, and the most that he's grossed.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I like that.
Ooh. Okay. So
to hear the questions or not to hear the questions.
So first, these are the first three movies that he's been involved with, and here they go. The Extreme Team, The Steel, Strangers with Candy.
Beep.
Simon.
I think he was in the second one, you said.
I'm going to go.
Which one was that?
Say them again.
No, don't.
Okay. So you say the second one was The Steel.
Oh, The Steel, obviously.
Yeah, it's Strangers with Candy, obviously.
Strangers with Candy.
Yeah.
The correct answer was The Steel.
Oh, yes. No, it begins.
I knew it.
Here we go.
Simon
gets round two takeover.
Oh, I've seen that film. It's really good. Although the plot seems very familiar. I wonder if they took it from somewhere.
That was in 1995.
Man of the Steel.
In 1995, and then The Extreme Team was second, but that was 8 years later. So it's quite a fallow passion.
Yeah, he wasn't very good in The Steel.
And the one that I said?
That was the most recent, 2005.
Good.
Okay.
Brilliant.
So, then we're looking at Best next on IMDb, the rating. So these are the three options. Guardians of the Galaxy 1 and 2. Okay, they're tied. That's one. The next one is... Lego movie.
Wait, at this particular...
And Her.
You're telling me at this particular time, the Guardians 1 film has made exactly the same as the Guardians 2 film. Like, exactly the same.
That is what I'm telling you.
IMDb. The ratings.
On IMDb. So, this is not up for debate. Those two are combined.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Rated, not made money. Okay, never mind.
Yeah.
It's first, best, most. Okay?
Yeah. Dylan has buzzed.
I'm going to say the Guardians bundle. I think they both have.
Did you buzz after I gave you all the options? I should have waited for you. Okay.
Beep, 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 beep.
Simon's going to go with Lego.
So you can go.
Beep, 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 beep.
Simon. Her. The correct answer was Guardians 1 and 2 are both rated 8.1.
And what's her rated?
Her's rated at 8. And the Lego movie at 7.8.
Ooh, so close.
So the final round is the... This is actually... I'm getting more specific as we go.
is there the film with Joaquin Phoenix and Scarlett Johansson as a voice?
Mm,
I don't remember there being any other humans in that film.
There's Chris Pratt.
Well, yeah.
This is very much a feature role, not a starring role. The last one is most. This is the lifetime gross amount that it's made in the US.
In the US, gotcha.
Right. To be specific. So, has made the most money?
Beep.
Oh, he's beeped
already.
He's beeped already. Okay. You're gonna beep,
to answer. No, I'm not gonna beep.
Okay, what is it?
I'm gonna say the Lego movie.
The Lego movie.
All right, let me hear the options.
Right,
Simon, you fool.
The options are. Guardians of the Galaxy 1, Guardians of the Galaxy 2, and Jurassic World. Jurassic World is the right answer.
Yes, please.
What? I would have never said Jurassic World if I heard those three
Can
ones.
You say how much it grossed the most since its inception?
650 bazillion. $650 million.
For those that are listening at home, I can confirm that if you were to look at the Lego movie in the equation, the Lego movie would have earned more than Jurassic World.
No chance.
Just so you know.
Really?
Yeah.
Have you looked that up?
Yeah.
I don't think it's true.
Definitely looked it up.
Okay, cool. So we're moving on to round three, which is finish the
super awkward that you didn't know that Matt Gross more.
What? And the first quote from Chris Pratt is, there's nothing funnier than a giant grown man.
Beep.
Dylan.
In a child's clothing.
Incorrect.
Sign. Farting.
Okay, you're incorrect. But eating. Dylan was close because this is an item of clothing that a child... this is,
beep
a,
in a
this
nappy.
Is an item
beep in a nappy.
That
in,
a child
in nappy.
Or, in a or young beep in moving around kid okay. would wear. Dylan.
Beep. A pig cap.
Incorrect.
In a moon bag.
Incorrect, Simon. This is an item that you could actually use for transport.
Beep.
A
skateboard.
You're both wrong.
Beep. Could use for transport.
A scooter.
You would use. You definitely use for transport.
A bicycle.
You're wrong, Simon.
It's a tricycle.
No, it's not that.
A penny farthing.
Something that you wear. Dylan, you are correct. Well done. It's rollerblades. It's not a penny farthing.
Yeah, doesn't he know it'd be funnier on a penny farthing?
Okay, the second quote is, my favorite way to blow steam is to sing obnoxiously loud in...
Beep.
Simon.
The shower.
Is the right answer.
I knew that because I've witnessed him shower before.
And the final quote is, just be yourself and forget all of the stuff you read in...
Beep.
So, Dylan.
The newspaper?
Well, incorrect.
Oh, I think it's correct.
It's not.
In the internet.
Incorrect. You were closer with your first answer, Simon.
Oh, yeah?
In the papers.
In magazines.
Oh, Dylan, I need you to be specific.
In the tabloid magazines.
No, which magazine
in
is it,
in the film
Dylan?
Magazines.
No.
In People magazine.
It's incorrect, Dylan.
In
why do we have to be specific about the magazine?
The U magazine? I mean, does he
this
get the U magazine?
No, it's wrong, Simon.
Oh, that's just
it's
so
a big magazine. Beep. Even I've heard of it.
In the Time magazine.
Incorrect.
Beep in...
Think about, like, you know, what kind of magazine he would be in.
In the, I said film magazine, Empire magazine.
No, it's incorrect.
Total film magazine.
It's more fashion, like, and lifestyle.
Beep in the Cosmopolitan magazine.
Incorrect, it's about men.
Beep in the GQ. In the FHM.
Is the right answer,
GQ,
Simon.
I can't
GQ.
Believe that you didn't give me that for the magazine.
Right. Well, it's not what he said, though. He said GQ. Anyone that's a Chris Pratt fan like myself who's read GQ will know that
after 800 attempts
no I mean I just took me a while to think of exactly the article I read it in.
Yeah.
Okay,
well I guess it is a quote, it does need to be the actual quote
sometimes depending on what Andrew
stops being a quote.
We're gonna move on to round four, which is Distant Relative, and this week's Distant Relative
Aziz Ansari
is the Guardians of the Galaxy film.
Sweet.
So the film soundtrack Awesome
first
Mix
film.
Volume 1, mm-hmm. the first one, was the first film soundtrack to make it to number one on the Billboard chart without what?
Beep.
Simon.
Without a new song on, like a...
Is the right answer. Hit. Without a single original song. The second question is, in order to capture the big screen version of Rocket, director James Gunn brought a real raccoon to the set. Named what?
Beep.
Oh, Simon.
Bradley.
It's incorrect. Okay, the clue is...
Yeah, that's pretty
it
tough.
It is an item of, I would say, confectionery that kind of maybe
cake.
Resembles a raccoon in color. That's wrong, Dylan. It's like a famous brand of treat.
Beep, Dunkin' Donuts.
Simon, it's incorrect.
Werther's Originals.
No, it's incorrect.
Beep, licorice.
This is something you might dunk in some milk.
Tim Tam.
It's incorrect, Dylan.
Oreo.
Is the right answer.
Sweet.
Right. The
Mom
second last question
is not good for raccoons.
Chris Pratt claims that major influences on his performances as Star-Lord were which fictional movie characters? The two answers. Dylan B.
Indiana
first.
Jones.
Is incorrect.
Beep. Han Solo.
Is one of the right answers.
Very
and
nice.
Is another one.
Prince.
Is incorrect.
Zorro.
Incorrect.
What did you say? Movie characters?
Yes, that's right. Fictional movie
Jack
characters.
Jack Dawson from Titanic.
Incorrect, Dylan.
Okay. Let me think.
Spider-Man.
Is incorrect. This is kind of an obscure clue, but I guess a hoverboard?
Beep.
Marty McFly.
Yeah.
Dylan beep first and said Marty McFly, so Dylan gets the point.
Sweet.
Right, and then the final question is, according to Vin Diesel, the voice of Groot, he recorded Groot's iconic line, I am Groot.
Yeah.
Maybe beep. Someone can do a better
beep, 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 beep.
Well, you haven't finished the question.
I know it's
over
be.
How many
well,
times?
No, this isn't fair.
I know it's going to be that.
Over how many times?
Over.
Is this closest answer?
It is.
Over 2,000 times.
Oh, okay. Boy. over 30 times.
Right.
Andrew's going to do some
calculator quick.
Well, It's difficult now because it's not a specific number, because it's over 1,000 times. So it's definitely not 30 times because it's,
wait,
it's
what
over
is the
1,000
answer? Over 1,000?
Yeah.
Okay, so the difference between over 1,000 and over 2,000 is 1,000. And the difference between over 1,000 is 970.
I know
therefore,
that.
Therefore, I am closer.
Yeah, but he did it like... Yeah, way more
right.
than 30
he probably
times.
Should give me the
no. Think about the maths, though.
I think we need to go to the third umpire.
How close is it in points?
It's
will
like,
it matter if Simon gets this point?
Yeah, it really it would. It Simon would then be tying.
All
with
right,
you.
You're going to have to find another source that tells you how many times you recorded the line.
I'm going to say purely on numbers. That the difference is smaller with Dylan's answer, and so Dylan gets it, gets the point.
Yes. Wait till I find that thing.
And
of
therefore,
Vin Diesel going, I recorded it over
Dylan
a million times.
Dylan wins the quiz. 10 points to 8 in a very controversial ending.
Hectic. Ooga chaga. Ooga, ooga, ooga chaga.
I can't stop this feeling.
Hectic. Deep inside of me.
Well, just if you enjoyed this week's podcast, I'm tired of you celebrating.
Steamroll over me. Go.
I'm tired of you singing. Thanks. I deserve to win that.
to tie, if anything.
I'm going to tweet Vin Diesel. I'm going to get him to give us a specific answer.
Do it.
Thank you for listening. You can get this podcast. If you've been listening through our site, you can do that, but you can also find it on iTunes, or recently we added it to Stitcher, which is actually quite helpful if you listen through there, because then we can see that you did.
Which is exciting.
It is
and
exciting.
Kind of creepy, the way you said it.
Yeah, well, I mean, we can't see like your location and you know everything about you.
But making we can hear when you laugh.
Yeah. So yeah, thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.